out of program. We ran out of programs. Are y'all talking about your trip to Vegas again? Where's the rest of our crew at? Oh, they're in there. Let me go get them. I swear, we got so many people in this church that don't know how to tell time. Oh,
sorry. We're coming.
It's time. I didn't even know we had a holder for silverware.
Where have you been?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Ooh, feels like summer's getting here, right? Let's hope. Let us open with prayer. Dear Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to come in here this morning and quieten our children. And no. And just bring your love and your peace and your understanding for how much we mean to you if we seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We got announcements coming up. That's today. Come and get you something good to eat. The baby bottles, there's three left out back there. They need to be signed. Who took them, the little number on them, and back by here by Father's Day, if you want to do that. And what that goes to, it helps unfortunate babies that are born with different stuff that need help and stuff, and helps, you know, babies that may not have been born into this world in the best situation. So it helps provide financial resources for the children like that. Bible study, Brother Osborne.
We're finishing up Hebrews.
Okay.
James.
Not go to James, yeah. Oh, he's hiding now, huh? Okay. Church council meeting the 19th. Thank you, ma'am.
What day is that?
Oh, boom, boom, boom. And where is she at? She's still in the kitchen. Oh, there she is. Thank you for the little signs and everything that you put out and different stuff that you do. We noticed it. And she does, comes in and does little things all the time and put out little flowers and stuff, and it's good. And I noticed the other meetings actually that meet in here, since you put the signs out, they're doing a better job of cleaning up behind herself, you know. So that's good. So thank you. We love you. No youth group announcement this week, but next week we got a bunch of them, right? Okay. So here we go. Anybody got any comment or anything on that? Anything?
The only reason why I put that up is because after church, everyone says that the songs are really good.
Yeah.
I'm picking them, yeah.
But do you got any
what you guys want us to play, whether it's country or,
yeah,
or old time, anything that you guys want to hear, just,
yeah,
put it in the suggestion box.
Yeah. And we got a whole list of the songs that y'all.
Yeah, so it's going to be quiet if you're wrong, but every bit.
You know. And she kind of governs the songs that she picks, kind of try to govern them around what the service is going to be, the message is going to be that month, that week. So anyway. Oh, no, you forgot something. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we have a lot together. I do have, the first announcement that I have is our storage shed out back that we've been renting. The guy come and got most of the stuff out and left. He left stuff in there. So you may want to go, it's not locked. You may want to go open it and look and see if it's anything in there you want to get out, because it's eventually going to go into the dump if people and hauled off, and then we'll start clearing some of the chairs and stuff out of the garage over there and start storing some church stuff in there and start trying to clean up the garage over there and move what we want to keep into our storage shed and get our garage. Because this winter I'm probably going to want to park a plow in the garage where we won't have to hire anyone to plow our parking lot this winter. You know, I'll keep it plowed because I have a plow. The roof work should start tomorrow. You know, want to thank Bulldog for helping us get the material. And that's Mike, for anybody who don't know here. He saved the church. I want to say we got a discount of $883, I believe it was, somewhere in that ballpark. They, on a different note, that Saturday morning at about between 2 and 3, Tammy had to go into the hospital in Spokane for emergency surgery on her digestive system. We were down there yesterday most of the day. She is doing better now. Talked to her right after she talked to the doctor again this morning at about 9:30, and she should be going home tomorrow evening or Tuesday morning. You know, that so she's asking for prayers for everyone, but she's looking really good. She's setting up. She's in her chair, you know, laughing and joking, but she had some problems with her digestive system and it wasn't processing food properly. And then she got in a lot of pain, and they did at 10:30, they did a CAT scan over here. Said good news is we know what it is. Bad news is we don't have anyone here to do the surgery that you need. So she's ended up in the little hospital in Spokane down by the Valley Mall, you know. But she will be home probably tomorrow, even Tuesday morning. Doctor said everything looks good. She said she feels great, you know, just for the... So keep her in your prayers. Now... Greet. Tell someone God loves you. God loves them. Love you too. Did you bring something today, baby? Did you bring a toy or something? You know, you didn't? We'll just give out. What are you doing, boy? Oh, it ain't time for that yet.
Don't put him back.
It ain't time yet, but it will be in a little bit. How you doing? How you doing today, sir? Good to see you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Don't you get hurt, girl. The bag's out there. Get.
Okay, there's only nothing in there.
Huh?
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do today if nobody brought nothing today?
I brought something.
Then you'll give it here. And I'll use it. I'm just going to.
I don't know what's going to
today. Yeah. We're going to.
Are you having potluck today?
Huh?
Are you having potluck today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Today I'm just going to give you guys a toy out. And we're going to start the first. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're going to start here. And so take this back. And then we're going to start the first first Sunday of each month. We're going to start doing Fool the Pastor once a month.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But we'll announce that next week. Hey, hey, we had another good thing this morning. We printed off the normal amount of programs that are bulletins that we print off, and we ran out this morning for the first time, so that's a good thing. I think we got a worship song coming up.
And grace.
Going to put her on the spot, but I guess I'm glad to see Lena here. That's and her sister. If anyone doesn't know, that's our granddaughter's other grandmother, and so it's just good to have her here. And so it's kind of nice to know that the child's in the church today, doing the stuff she likes to do. I did mention her sister, sweetheart. You didn't hear me. You need to go with Brother Allen next week. Can y'all swing by the house and pick her up? I did mention her. And it's testimony time. Does anyone got any testimony?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, Allen and I have been reading 2 Thessalonians. We just got started on that yesterday. But there's a scripture in there that I didn't remember reading before, so I'm going to read that to you. Open up here. Yeah, just put in there last night.
Just for you.
That's right. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Now, he's talking about the Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I don't remember reading that about lying wonders. You know, Jesus came with miracles and wonders. We're going to see wonders in heaven when he comes back. But Satan tries to imitate God. So we need to be watching out for imitators who claim that Jesus is here, come follow me because I'm Jesus, or here because there's signs and wonders, but it's all lies. And that's how Satan gets people tricked. He kind of gives a modicum of truth because there are signs and wonders, but he is the liar. And so we mustn't be deceived. But anyway, I thought that was neat that the Lord pointed that out to me in this particular scripture. So let's just keep trusting the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Satan is the great counterfeiter. Anyone else? How did I know?
Well, regardless of popular opinion, I'm not the brightest bulb on the branch. And I was thinking the other day.
Uh-oh.
Oh. You can be excused. Plenty of room outside for so for you. Anyway, if we bother to stop and contemplate what God has done for us, He reveals Himself through His Word, and He does it so subtly that we can't be sure that it's Him talking to us or if it's our imagination. But when you search it out and see how He revealed Himself to the church, He started off with the prophets, and then He went to the apostles, and then He came and let the Holy Spirit fill us. Would you put him out? Please, he needs to go outside.
He needs to go outside. You go get in your coma, Mom.
I'm sorry for the interruption. He is just a distraction. Anyway, the important thing is that He revealed Himself in His Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He says, He is in me as I am in Him. Then Jesus said, I am in you. So if He is in us, then occasionally when we have those little starbursts of thought in our mind about the Word of God and who He is, it is so deep and it is so profound that you're really missing a bet if you don't get into the Word. So that's all. That's the lesson for today.
The parking lot is still empty.
Mike wants to say something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rebuttal.
No, we're not putting her out. We like her better than you.
I think Jesus said, I think it was Jesus, that said, lay up your treasures in heaven, but look at the treasure that He gave me here.
Right here. Good save.
You are blessed.
Oh.
I just want to say I'm blessed to have such loving grandchildren and a beautiful, loving daughter. And He blessed me with them so much, all seven of them. And one on the way. They are the best, very caring.
So is that it for the day? You don't have.
No. Okay.
You're okay, ain't you?
I'm good. I praise God that I didn't do more damage to myself when I tripped over my dog's leash. Ended up with a broken rib, but I'm okay.
And we're very blessed.
Yes. And that's very good. Anyone else? You got something, or you do? Oh, okay. I just thought you were digging something in your hand.
So personally, I will never forget the first time that I went to church, and I saw someone praising and worshiping, and it happened to be my cousin, and I saw the Holy Spirit just moving in him, and I thought, we had done some pretty bad things growing up, much like all the teenagers. But the moment that I saw him and the way that Christ just shined through him And I remember thinking, I want what he has now. And I had followed him all throughout my life. I wanted to be cool like him, and he was my best friend and everything. And then when I went back home and I saw it, I devoted my life completely. I want to be just like him. I want to do exactly what he does. So I've lived my life that way. And then I come here and I see the way that Mike and Joanne, the way that they just connect. And I just want to say, I don't know, at some point we all want to be that person that somebody looks up to. And I just want to mention that they're basically our goals as we're about to get married. And the way that they were fussing at each other, I looked over at Audie and I said, you know, that's going to be us. We're going to be loving in Christ. We're going to be antagonizing each other. We're going to be right there for each other. And it's all inspired by the people that we see. So whenever you start to think, I'm just going to shut my mouth, I won't tell them about God, I won't. Someone's looking for it. Somebody is wanting that need and that push. Like, they want to see something higher. Well, we can be the beacons for that. We are the beacons for that. And I just wanted to point out, because I don't know if anybody ever has to those two, you guys are such an inspiration, the way that you teach us about what's important every time that we get together. And then every time that you guys even fuss and be each other, we see Christ through you. You guys just glow through Christ, and you are our inspiration, because us younger people, we don't have a lot of inspiration anymore. It's not in the world. So I just want to thank God for the people in this church and every single little bit that you guys put in. It's like a whole recipe for a big Christ cake, and we are just ready to dive into it.
Amen.
What are you going to say, dog?
What are you going to say, honey?
I forgot.
She forgot.
She forgot. Kids. Sunday school teacher is taking that back there with her, and when y'all done, if you're really good, she'll give it to you at the end out of there. And we're going to start fooling the pastor first Sunday of each month, because it's got so many kids here, the bank will not loan me any more money to buy toys. So you want to say something? Oh, okay.
So whenever on my mom's side of the family, we got really bad hurt from our dad. And there was this person named Mike. He was a cop. And he helped us through the hardest time. And I think Darla just wanted to say thank you. And he passed away like a year ago. And I think Darla just wanted to say thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
What do you call a cow?
A cow. Huh?
Is that the end?
Yeah. What do you call a cow? A cow. Not that. It went over your head. It's too complicated for you. Yeah. You would have had to been there. Oh, okay. Whew. It's good to have a full house this morning, ain't it? And all these kids in here, you know, are part of us, you know. You know, a lot of churches will put their kids over here and the adults will be over here and not us. They're in here. They're a part of us. They're helping us get our... It's good these children's coming in and making messes, right? We clean them up and watch them. It's just really good. It's time now for offerings. Mike, unfortunately, Dennis couldn't be here, so I guess I'm going to have to call upon Tom. You know, unfortunately, you know. I'm sure God did something to me this week. Let us pray. I love you, Tom. I do. I love Tom. Dear Lord, we just ask you as we give back to you so freely what you gave to us, that is a body here of your
part of your body of Christ in this community, that we just be good stewards of these resources and we use them to glorify you and your Son through the Holy Spirit to the lost in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, sir. You did good. You didn't even take none out or nothing, did you? Yeah, okay. See how much better he's getting? Bam. Well, it's come to my favorite part of the service, the Osborne hymnal. If you'll turn to page 351 in your hymnal, she will lead us. They will lead us in this.
This is a really great song. This song actually tells the most important thing in the whole creation, and that's the shed blood of Jesus. Without the shed blood of Jesus, there's no remission of sin. There's no going to heaven. There's no rejoicing. There's defeat without the shed blood of Jesus, but he so freely gave his blood. When the enemy comes around and starts giving you a bad time, just say, the blood of Jesus speaks louder. The blood of Jesus is the supreme authority. Go away, enemy. Jesus is victorious. Praise his name.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
We're going to have to also get more baskets because we got more kids and we got baskets now. Not a good thing and not a good problem to have. But it's time for our Children's Change World Offering. So where's the kids? Come and get the basket and go get them. Come on. Come on, Colt. Get you a basket, boy. What you eating? Get you a basket. Go get them, guys. Here, there you go. Yeah, hey, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Cole. Huh? Oh, okay. Good idea. Good idea. That's about done now. No, they got the, she's going to give them, then we're going to start. Didn't you hear my announcement? Just set it there on the, there, buddy, you good? Yeah. Now, we're not doing that. Y'all going to get it in the, but next time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go to Sunday school. You got your toy back there, okay? All right. You going or are you going to stay here?
Stay here.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I think what you, no, I'm not, I don't have a clue what you said. That's in. We're going back here, bud. You gone? Yeah. Yeah. He said something. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Are you paying him to shut up?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I owe you now. All right. Well, I guess it's that time of the day, right? I'm supposed to talk about something to do with this book here they call the Bible. So we're going to be in Ephesians today. We're going to look at that one. I think some of you got the reading. Like always, Osborne's going to read our scriptures for us.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Mm-hmm. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen. Thank you. So unlike Acts, where Paul talked about the physical presence of the church, what physically it should look like, over here in Ephesians, he's talking about what the church should look like spiritually. He's focusing and dialing in on the spirituality of the church. The two key words that gets me in all these scriptures is adoption and my inheritance. It's hard for us today in time to kind of, well, it is for me, I won't speak for you guys, but for me to wrap my brain around that mankind was for a time walking through humanity and they had an inheritance, but they had no clue. You know, it's kind of like being, you know, you are a child that's born to a man or to a woman, and you're out somewhere in another part of the world, and your grandfather comes up, and you know they kind of just blow it off that, and you don't realize you have a grandfather somewhere in the world that has this great inheritance for you, and you just don't realize it, you know. But through Jesus Christ, God fixed all that. He sent his son out to humanity and said, go and adopt my children back into my family. Jews, non-Jews. Before then, the Jews were the chosen people. Through Jesus, we're all the chosen people. That we're one as the church. We're one body. We're one being through the Holy Spirit. We're no longer single individuals. We're like the Marine Corps. We're so equal, or should be, in Christ, that the love of Christ just moves through humanity, pulling God's lost children back into the family, adopting them back in where they can have the inheritance that they were created to have. Adam and Eve took that from us. They didn't do it with malice. They was deceived. Today we can have the Lord live in us again. Through the Holy Spirit, we can be the temple of the Lord. Before Christ, man, that's one of the things that we lost. We don't realize that man lost. When Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, was God would no longer dwell spiritually in an evil place. And we, as humanity, before Christ, became an unfit house for the Spirit of God to live in. And through the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ, once again, we are clean enough through the blood to once again have God dwell in our heart. Be there. You know, later on they're in Ephesians passage, they talk about taking off the old and putting on the new. You know, old man, new man. See, in the flesh, old man, if I didn't get along with you and push comes to shove, my way of dealing with you would be through revenge. I'm going to get you. I'm going to even the score. I'm going to make sure that I come out on top. And the new man, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, I approach you with forgiveness. That's how I give you the grace that God gave me through Christ. And what does grace mean? It means I have been given something that I am 100% not entitled to. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can say that makes me entitled to what happened on the cross. But God showed me grace. He gave me a gift that I was unworthy of, because He wanted to love me, and He wanted me to know how to love Him again. So that's what he's talking about there, putting the new man, becoming, taking off that old man and that new man. You know, we in our, the day and time, men confuse his lust of the flesh for love. But see, we were a being that was created to be loved and loved. But through Satan and Adam and Eve, that desire has been twisted through the human desires of the flesh. But we seek something. It's almost like being hungry. You can almost go hungry only for a little while until you got to eat something. You need something to fill that emptiness in you. So we start settling for unhealthy spiritual desires of the flesh of one another. We start settling for money, property, prestige. We start trying to feed something because we're starving to death inside. And what we don't realize that the thing that we're starving of is God's love. God's love. That's what creates that emptiness in us. You know, some of y'all have heard me say this before, and some of y'all may not have said. See, I can take light iceberg lettuce, and I can feed you every day with it, and I can fill your stomach up and make your hunger pains go away temporarily, and I can starve you to death with it, because iceberg lettuce has no nutritionist value. But your hunger pains go away. You think you've been fulfilled. You think you've been filled up. But you hadn't. And as she pointed out earlier in her testimony, Satan is the great counterfeiter, Antichrist. But the word Christ is in there. So it's something that looks like Christ, but it's not Christ. And he will feed us things of this world. He will feed us with our ego, our self-worth, our self-esteem. Me, 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 me. Until I bust the gates of hell wide open. No. Him, 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 him. I'm incapable, through Satan's directions, to do the repairs that need to be done in this broken soul. I'm incapable of it. Now, I know Tom don't know much about building jet engine, or I don't think he does, do you? No. Okay, that was a safe bet, wasn't it? Okay. And only a fool would sit there and watch me put a jet engine together and having Tom give me directions on how to do it, and then anyone get on the plane and say, you know what? I think this is a safe bet. Let's see if it'll fly. But we do that every day in our own life. We allow Satan to direct how we're going to put our life together and how we're going to put our spiritual condition together. And we buy into the ideal that God's about now and not about there, the kingdom. Mike mentioned it earlier. Don't put your treasures here. Treasure what God gives you here, but don't put your treasures here. That's two different things. And then think, well, you know what? It'll get me to heaven. Well, it won't. And we're going to look in Isaiah next week why Jesus is so important. We're going to look at the first part where God had just got completely fed up with the men about, I don't need you. We forget that we have nothing on the face of the earth that God needs. We have nothing that He needs. God will be okay without you. But you may not be okay without Him. And that's the point. But we forget that. Satan gets in our minds and we start doing a little work here. And we do a little work there in God's name. And we do a little work there in God's name. And we do a little work here in God's name. And he starts telling us to pat ourselves on the back and take a little praise of how good a servant we are at God. And how God is proud of us. And how we need to just, you know, you need to recognize how much God loves me. And you need to recognize how great a servant I am to God. And the next thing you know, I am glorifying myself in the name of God to you, and Jesus is nowhere to be found. A little at a time. You've heard me say it, I'll say it again. Jesus, Satan tries to get you on the installment plan to get you away from Jesus. He knows if you've got any concept of God at all, or Christ at all, and the salvation of the cross, and the repentance through the blood of the Lamb, repenting and accepting that blood of the Lamb for the price of our sins, he knows that he can't just say, you need to quit God today, give him up. Because you won't. Because most people's not that stupid. But he will try to just get you slowly but surely, one little something at a time, one little something at a time. And next thing you know, you turn around and you can't even see God anymore where you're at. And you wonder how in the world you got there by yourself. You know? Because we want to feel important to self. We are a new body in Christ now, if we choose to be there. And Christ called us what? His bride. And he's not picked up somewhere at the 219 and they ended up on a binge drink and some way or another they drove through a place in Vegas and some guy standing in the window named Elvis married him. He's not talking about that kind of bride. You know, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a pure, holy, clean body of Christ that when he comes back to receive his bride, to take him, to take us to his Father, to present this body to him as your family, Father. Now I'm gonna be honest with you. I was a troublemaker when I was younger, and I will be honest with you. There were certain girls that I ran with, but I'd never take them to my mama's house. And that's just the proof. That's just the proof. When I was a young man, I thought I was all that and going to be the next superstar and all these delusional ideals of what I thought I was. There were certain girls that were good for Friday and Saturday night, but they'd never be at my mama's kitchen table on Sunday. And I knew that. And I knew better than that. So that's the dilemma that we have when Christ comes back. Are you going to be a Christian that Christ finds that I recognize what you're saying you are, but I'm leaving you here. I am not taking you to my Father's table and letting you sit down and break bread with us. Because my Father ain't going for it. That's why I didn't take him to my mama's house. That's why I didn't take them girls to my mama's house. Because I knew that she wouldn't be ruled, but she'd pull me to the side. And she'd say, boy, you get that Jezebel out of my house. Or I'm finna step off in your rear end knee deep, and you ain't gonna like it. And you take her back to wherever you found her. So are we going to be there when the time comes? That individual. For the first time after the cross, man has an opportunity through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to be whole once again in God, back with the Father. You know, I talk to individuals all the time, and they ask me this question, and they say this question to me, and they're looking for something. They can tell they're in turmoil, and something's going on in them, you know. And they'll say to me, Pastor, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. And I'll say to them, that's an easy question to answer. I know what God's will is for your life. And they say, how do you know that? You don't even know me that well. I said, God's will for your life is to lead him back to you, to him, where you and him can be in perfect harmony, loving one another once again like he created us to be. That's his will. His will is the same for me as it is for Mike, for Tom, for Brother Osborne, for everyone sitting in here. What you need to find out is what is your mission in God's world. That's what you need to find out. It's not what his will is for my life, but what his mission is for my life to get me to the point where I can fulfill his will for my life. And if you're running after behind things in this world, you're probably not fulfilling his mission for your life. I am so grateful that I get to do this today. But I'm telling you, I did not want this. I did not want this. I did not want to do this. I was anything but that, God. Can I do anything but that? Can I drive trucks to take food to little babies somewhere that's starving to death? Can I do anything but this? I don't want to do that, God. Let me give you the list of reasons why I shouldn't do it. And I would give him a long list. And then he'd say to you, Hollis, let me give you a list of reasons why you should do it. I told you so. That's my list. But God, my list, I told you so. And my mama used to try to teach me this, and I'm hard-headed. I know the woman's a saint because she put up with me. And she should be made a saint, whatever they do with saints in heaven. She should be one for putting up with me because she would try to tell me, and I couldn't get it because I was so hard-headed and stuff. Son, God's will be done. The question's never if God's will is going to be done or not, son. The question is, are you going to go freely or kicking and screaming, but you're going to go? And somewhere or another in my crazy way of thinking, I found some wiggle room in that. And I don't know how I found where it was. I mean, that's kind of plain, right? You're going, period, one way or another, nothing in the middle. But somewhere or another in my way, I could find some wiggling room in there. We have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to live a life spiritually that shows His love to humanity. And a lot of times, showing His love doesn't mean telling someone that Jesus loves you. Sometimes showing His love means, look, I know some preacher told you this lifestyle you're living that fits in God's plan, but it's not. And I'm not being cruel today, but you're living in sin, and it's going to lead to you going to hell. And you need to repent from it. You know? You need to repent from it. But we've got the day and time that we want the world to accept us so much as Christians, we'll start putting the world's garments on instead of the new man's garment, Christ's garment. And we'll put the world's garments on, and then we'll call it Christ's garment. Because we want man to accept us more than we want to accept God's unconditional love for us. And when I say unconditional, I mean unconditional. Unconditional on my part and unconditional on His part. That He sets the conditions and no one else sets the conditions. You know, I said this last week, I'll say it again in this other areas. Look at it. If I came in here and told you guys the day and time I realized that I went and seen a psychologist and he told me that I had the adultery gene and I can't help it, you know. I need to take a pill every week, and I'm constantly running around, and I'm sleeping with other women on my wife. But it's okay. I'm still a good pastor because you guys got to understand I got the adultery gene. Or if I'm going out here and I'm getting in my car drunk and driving, and I'm telling you guys you got to understand it and accept it because I got the drunk gene. You guys would say, you're crazy, Pastor. What in the world is God doing? How in the world did we get him for a pastor? He's crazy as all get out. Did somebody hit him on the head between last Sunday and this Sunday? What in the world was the man talking about? Sin is sin. Living in the flesh is in the flesh. We have to reject the desire of living in the flesh. See, I have to eject the desire to have the desire to be dishonest sometimes. I have to eject the desire of having the desire to not want to be a faithful man, if that's my case, to my wife. You know, I the desire to drink if I become drunk. That's sin. Because I am taking an act. And what is sin? Sin is an act that moves me from the presence of God. That's what's so deadly about sin. is it gets me in a place where I no longer can feel the love of God. And I'm back to my human desires to try to feel that emptiness in me that only God can fulfill. Through things of this world that leaves me empty. Jesus is the solution for everything. Repentance is a, you know, I hear people tell, and please don't misunderstand what I'm finna say. I do believe the sinner prayer is important. But the sinner prayer without repentance will send you to hell. You can come up here at the end of the week, at the end of the month, you can come up here and you can take communion with us. And you can get here and pray the sinner prayer. But if you have no repentance of who you were, you can walk right out that door and think you're safe in Christ and bust hell wide open. Now, I know that's not popular to preach today and time. But you can. Because repentance, being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to move into me and change me into a new creature that no longer lusts after the desires of the flesh and has me seeking all the healing and the purity of Jesus Christ in my soul. And I have to repent. If I don't admit there's a problem, I can't get to a solution. And people will come to me sometimes and say, Pastor, I just don't feel like me and God's relationship's really good right now. And I don't know what the problem is. You're the problem. What do you mean you don't know what the problem is? You think God is the problem? You think God is messed up and did something? I don't need a God like that. I don't need a God that ain't much of a God if he's the problem. So here Paul's talking about who we need to be spiritually in the body, not so much physically. Because what we know physically in this world is going to pass away. I had an old friend of mine that used to say to me, salvation and condemning to being condemned to hell is an inside job. And you better get a clue, old boy. You better get a clue. Not about what's going on over there in Mike or God that's the problem. As my mama would say, it's what's going on Hollis Wayne that just, you know, cannot seem to want to keep his hand out of the cooker jar. You know. Thank God I realize I'm better off if I just leave my hand out of the cooker jar. So that's the message that I have preached today. I hope you get all roads lead to God. But as that old boy said, there's only one road leads to salvation. And his name is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus Christ Almighty, the perfect one that stood in the place of my road to hell to give me an off-ramp back to the kingdom of God. And boy, that grace. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for allowing me to share this message. And if no one's told you today, let me tell you, God loves you. And I know it sounds crazy. I do too. I believe we have a worship song coming up.
Thank you, Lord, for the small things like me and her on a porch swing. For summer nights and fireflies and the sound of my old six string. Blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. If I still got breath in these lungs, then that's all I need to get down on my knees and be thankful for all that he's done. For my mama, for my friends, for your love. that I took it too far. I gotta thank you for keeping me humble, for picking me up when I stumble. And although I change, you stay the same. And I don't say thank you enough. For my mama, for my friends, for your love that never ends, for the songs that make us dance on this old dirt floor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Raise up, eyes closed. One thing I know. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, God loves us, but he wants to be able to presently love us. Some of y'all know that most of my family that was really close to me is dead. But I have one brother outside of Mobile, Alabama, that I love him. But he drinks every day. And he used drugs every day. And I want to love him. But I know he's doing this, destroying him. And I can't love him in that. I can't tell him, you're the exception to the rule, brother. It's okay that you walk that way. Last time I was down there, it broke my heart to stand in his house and tell him, I love you so much, but I got to go get a hotel because I can't live in this anymore. I know we lived in this when I was 18 years old and you was 21. And he was saying, oh, brother, don't you care anymore? I said, yes, I care. I care deeply. You don't realize. He doesn't realize that he's the only physical human being that's walking on the face of the earth that I break down and cry about sometimes when I'm in that closet alone with Christ. He doesn't realize how much I care. But I can't make good in attendance because I don't want to be at odds with you, because I can't do that. Because I can't stand in front of my Lord one day and him look at me and say to me, Hollis, why didn't you tell Brandon different? He was your brother. You're not responsible for him accepting the proof, but you're definitely responsible for him hearing the proof. It's time for final prayer. I got Tammy on my prayer list. I got that mess that the Russians, that's one I've just turned over to God. You know, I know he's got a plan. I'm glad he's God and I'm not, because I wouldn't know, have a clue what to do with that mess. Does anyone else have anyone else that needs to be lifted up? Alma. Pray for her healing enough to get here. And of course, always we have Beth Ann, Dee, you know, pray. I know you guys are both physically sick, you know, but I know you both are so comfortable in Christ and you're so unafraid of the physical death of this world. You know, it's just a great testimony. You know, because a lot of people in your situation, boy, they would be as... But a lot of people don't realize that. It's the spiritually sickness that we need to be healed from, not the physical sickness. Because death cures all physical sickness. But only Jesus Christ cures the spiritual sick. You know. But a lot of people in your situation in this world today, at times, as my daddy would say, they are nervous as a coon dog trying to pass a Georgia peach seed, you know. And I mean, old Georgia peach seeds are about that big around. And I'm coon, so I'm just saying, you know. But we don't have to live that way if we know Christ. So let us pray, Tom.
Make sure your brother's on that list.
Huh? He's on that list every day. He's
sounds selfish to do that, but it's your brother.
Yeah. He's on that list every day. Every morning he's on that list. He's right at the top of that list. I pray for him. First person I pray for every morning is my brother.
I think it's great that you mentioned it to us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, that's what I said in that closet when I'm praying. I'm all, you know that. Yeah, well, I pray for everyone. But thank you, Tom. He's on that list. Let us pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to be in your home. We thank you that Tammy's surgery went so well in the middle of the night. No one really knew. They didn't have time to prepare for it. It just seemed like the Holy Spirit guided them through that whole situation from here down to Spokane. And it was just click, 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 click. No, just amazing. And she's up and doing so well. We thank you for that. Witness that you're working in your people's life to keep them here for the reasons that you have for them and everyone else and the people in Russia and in Ukraine and all of them. We're just praying for your comfort for those individuals. And we just pray that you lift us up and realize that it's not the physical illness that we need, but with the spiritual illness that we need through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his precious, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Through that door, go get something to eat. If you want to, you don't have to.